The league that has garnered perhaps the most headlines this college football offseason is the Big 12, and we're here to preview it with you today at BunnSports.com. I'm Jacob Bunn. I'm joined, as always, by the college football professor. It started with the Baylor scandal and all the headlines surrounding that, and then it became college football expansion, conference expansion once again, and the Oklahomas and the Texases and the entire Big 12 decided that they are going to once again add members to their league, or at least that's what they're signaling strongly as they came out of their conference media day. So we'll start right there, Professor. A very interesting storyline over the past few weeks has been conference expansion and the Big 12. Will they get it done? Here they go again, it looks like.
Well, that seems to be the story. In fact, they're saying they're going to try to make that announcement before they start before they have the first game. So that means it's about to
happen. Well, they're going to decide whether they – but I think at this point it's pretty obvious that they want to decide in favor of adding two teams. Okay, I'm going to ask you in a moment who you think they should add to the league. But first, I'm going to ask you quantity. Should they go two? Should they go four? I mean, obviously, if you get to the – you can split into divisions – you can have a championship game with two equal divisions. I know they can have it now with the round robin, but that's just ridiculous. You should have two divisions. So how many should they add?
I think they add four.
Add four. So you say get to 14, then they'll be equal with the SEC.
That's right.
And the Big Ten and the ACC. Okay, interesting. All right, now, of the candidates out there, some good names. I'm going to let you tell me which four teams you think they should add.
Well, I'm going to go against the conventional wisdom, which says the Houston Cougars.
Okay.
I'm going to say that they will invite BYU and Boise State as football only teams, and then Memphis and Cincinnati as full participate in all sports.
Why Memphis and Cincinnati? And why them full participation and not BYU?
Because I think the only way that they can make it work as smooth as they'd like, and I'm just going by the fact that their commissioner said something about that was a possibility, so I feel like he's laying the groundwork for that. Because BYU, in the sense of they have a strong, good football program, and they're good in all sports, but they don't play on Sunday. So that would make some complications, probably. And Boise State is very good in football, but some of the minor sports, they're not very strong in it. So I just think that's the route they'll go.
So BYU, Boise State, Cincinnati, and Memphis. And I guess this is one of the last shots you could get if you're a Group of Five team, like they're from the American Athletic Conference, Cincinnati and Memphis are. I guess it's one of your last shots to try to get in a conference.
That's right, and I think that's why they go to four.
Okay.
And I think Cincinnati gives West Virginia a good rivalry, and so that'd be very good for them.
A lot of headlines over the offseason in Waco as the sexual assault investigation and the Baylor University's handling, and specifically the football program of this. The fallout meant that Art Briles got fired, and there was a lot of other changes that were made at that program. So my question to you is on the field, football-wise, how does this affect Baylor, and how does this affect this team or this league as a whole? As the Bears were once again poised to have another great season, but now they've had, in double digits now, the number of players that have transferred away from the school, good players.
Well, I think I really think their team's going to be a good team this year. First of all, they're going to try to just continue with the same offense they've had, and they really have an outstanding quarterback in Seth Russell. And they have some other good receivers.
They had a good backup in Jarrett Stidham that they lost. That's
a loss.
Yeah,
that is a loss. The depth situation is where they may be hurt. For instance, they're going to have a good defensive line, but will they have the depth for it? But they do have, some people like Davon Hall, who comes in as a strong safety. He's very good. But the question is, when we think about Art Briles gone, it's that offense he had. Well, they're going to have if they have the same team to do that, same coaching staff. But Jim Grobe is a defensive specialist, and so that might shore up the weak area for Baylor some.
It'll be interesting to see how it works out. I still think Baylor, as you do, is going to be a pretty significant cog in this wheel of the Big 12 as they move toward who's going to be the champion. Of course, we know it's still round robin. There is no championship game. I think the Bears could win enough games to be competitive. We'll announce our champion, our predicted champion, in a moment. Baylor will be in the running.
Well, here's where maybe the problem with Baylor is they play at Texas, at Oklahoma, at Texas Tech, and at West Virginia. That's pretty tough. That's about as hard as it can get as far as the conference. Now, I didn't say they're non-conference schedule.
Sure.
They're conference schedule.
Yeah, and their non-conference schedule, by the way, is not that impressive. Northwestern State, SMU, and, oh, they do have to travel to Rice. That might be difficult there. All right, let's go through our standings here. And we'll start with number 10. Once again, they're there every year. It's the Kansas Jayhawks, 0-9, 1-11. It can't be 1-11. 0-9 in league play, 1-11 overall is what we have, the Jayhawks record. David Beatty, the head coach there, not a good year for Kansas again.
I don't see much change for Kansas.
Yeah. So we'll move on now to Texas Tech, another team we don't see making a bowl. We have them overall winning three games, going 3-9 and 1-8 in conference play.
I think that Texas Tech is, I think they you know, have Pat Mahomes as a quarterback, who's an outstanding quarterback, and they have their schedule's pretty easy. So those are the two things I'd say that was in their advantage. They do have this good quarterback, and they have some good receivers.
Yeah, a lot of people think Mahomes might be one of the best in the nation this year. It'll be interesting to see how he plays out. Iowa State, of course, Matt Campbell, he's in his first year there. I don't see him making a bowl. 4-8, 2-7 in league play is what we have them at.
I can't see them making much progress either. Here's the thing. Neither Kansas or Iowa State in recruiting. Of course, the entire Big 12 did not have a good recruiting. You know, no one had a really good recruiting season, except maybe Texas did in the late part when a bunch of Baylor players decided to transfer.
One coach that's not in his first year is Bill Snyder, the head coach of Kansas State. 4-8 overall is what we have them. 3-6 in league play. This guy is in his 25th season. I don't see him making a bowl this year, but you can never count them out.
Here's the deal. And as I thought about him, I said, can Bill Snyder pull another rabbit out of the hat? I mean, he's done it over and over again.
The answer is yes, he can. Now, will they? I don't know, but absolutely they can. All right, number 6, we mentioned him a few minutes ago, Baylor. We have them going to a bowl, winning 7 games, 7-5, 4-5 overall.
Well, you know, they have an outstanding quarterback in Seth Russell. They got a really good running back in Chalk Linwood, and they have a good offensive line. They have a wide receiver that's K.D. Cannon, who is really, really good. But the question is, will they have the depth? And if they can avoid injury, they can have a better than we anticipate season.
How warm do you think Dana Holgerson's seat is right now? They're 8-5 a year ago, and he hasn't been able to have that run to the playoff or be atop the Big 12 standings. It's just been kind of a middling effort. I know they've changed leagues since he's been there, but still, West Virginia is in need of a good year, right?
I would say if he doesn't win some games, they won't be burning couches. They'd be burning him. But they do have some good players.
We're not advocating violence, just for the record.
The last half of the season, their quarterback, Skylar Howard, really was having a good year as far as the last half of the season, and they have a really good offensive line. So they might be just a little bit better than advertised.
Yeah, Howard last year passed for 829 yards, 51% completion percentage in the time that he put in. We have West Virginia finishing at 8 wins, 8-4, 5-4. Is that enough to keep Holgerson?
I think so.
All right. Well, how about another 8-4 team, and we think it's a dramatic improvement for this team, and that is the Texas Longhorns. We have them finishing 8-4 and 6-3 in Big 12 play. It'd be a big step forward. I know Texas, 8-4 is a big step forward, but it is right now for Charlie Strong in this program.
Well, I do think, Jacob, that the key to that will be a new player that's coming on the scene who everyone anticipates will start a quarterback by the name of Shane Rochelle. So it's according to whether or not he is able to be the kind of – it's Buchel, not Rochelle.
Buchel, yes.
But it's according to whether or not he can step into that role. They got good linebackers. They got a good defensive line. And their schedule, they play Notre Dame right off the bat. So I think it's doable for them to improve.
5-7 last year. You're right. They open up with Oklahoma Notre Dame right out of the bat. And if they could win that game, or at least keep it competitive, they didn't keep it competitive last year, that could be a big boost for this Longhorn team. Well, how about Oklahoma State? This is a team that won 10 games a year ago. Mike Gundy, can you believe he's going into his 12th season in Stillwater?
Is he 40 years old?
He is well beyond 40 at this point. But we have them winning 10 games again, 10-2 overall, 7-2 in league play. Again, Oklahoma State, a dangerous team, a good team.
They do play at TCU and at Oklahoma. That's going to make it difficult for them in the conference. But other than that, their schedule is pretty, pretty acceptable. But when we think about them, there again, they have a seasoned quarterback in Mason Rudolph, and they have a wide receiver by the name of James Washington. The question is, can he be a Dez Bryant or can he be a Justin Blackman that they've had there? You know, that's one thing that they've done. They've developed real good receivers at Oklahoma State.
They have always done that. The skill positions, the quarterbacks. It was one of the first to move to that spread, hurry up, high-powered offense that was a major threat in college football, and Oklahoma State's done it and done it effectively. Last year, TCU was 11-2. They lost several starters, many starters on offense, including their quarterback. We know how good he was. But here we have them finishing second in the Big 12, 10-2 overall, 7-2, the same as Oklahoma State. The Horned Frogs, once again, are going to be right there in the mix for not only the Big 12, but the college football playoff.
Jacob, let me ask you a question. How do you think Kenny the Thrill Hill will do as their quarterback?
He's going to resurface, isn't he?
Yeah, but they do have some really good players. And do you think, Jacob, that them playing Arkansas, of course they're playing at home,
game.
Early in the year, that'll kind of tell us how really good they are?
It's a huge game for them, and if I'm not mistaken, is that a neutral – that may be a neutral site game, is it?
Or I'm not sure. I just know it's not – it's considered their home game.
Either way, it's a big game for both programs and both conferences, I think, to get off to a fast start there, as that's a week two game there. Well, it's no secret, if you've been deducing, our champion of the Big 12, we think they're going 11-1 and 9-0, running the table in the Big 12 this year, and it is none other than the Oklahoma Sooners. They are really the favorites this year. Talk about this program, where it is. Bob Stoops, again, you can't say enough about the job he's done there. 18th year overall as the head coach in Norman.
You know, he's actually doing pretty good coaching now, because if you notice, he hadn't been getting the top, 10 recruit classes in the last few years. But he's got Baker Mayfield, the quarterback, and that's a big thing. He's the heart and soul. And we might even say ever how well Baker Mayfield goes is how the Oklahoma Sooners will go.
And also Samaje Perine, running back, who I think is going to be an under-the-radar Heisman contender this year. Last year they lost 37-17 to Clemson in that playoff. How big is that a motivation this year to get back and try to get back there so they can win a game in the playoff this year?
Well, I think that's important, and I'm you're exactly right. I think the key might be Samaje Perine, how he does as a running back. But they also have a new player that's coming in that I think will help their defense, a linebacker by the name of Caleb Kelly. Mm-hmm. And I think he might be a difference maker for them. But look at their schedule, Jacob. They have some that first five games they have. Think about who they play.
Yeah.
Four
it's
of
tough.
Them. They play at Houston. They host Ohio State. And
at TCU,
that's enough.
Texas.
And then
they
play at TCU and at Texas. We'll know who they are after five games.
Absolutely. No, Oklahoma. Frankly, that Oklahoma-Ohio State game is one of the games I'm most looking forward to seeing this year. I think that is going to be two contrasting style type teams going at it there in Norman. And if I'm not mistaken, Urban Meyer said recently that he's never coached a game in Norman. So there's a first for everything. You think these coaches have been everywhere. They really haven't. So it's going to be a great season, and I think Oklahoma once again is the champion. Now here's the question, the final question for this program, and I think the biggest question for this league. You have an 11-1 Oklahoma team. They don't play in a conference championship game, so 11 wins, if they have that loss, is good as far as they can go. How does that stack up? Do they get the benefit of the doubt by the playoff committee, or does that really hurt them this year?
It could hurt them. I think, Jacob, wouldn't you say that it really comes down to every year it seems like there are different twists and turns in what we, what we look at and project, that these are going to be the top four, it comes down to something else. Like 2 years ago, Ohio State came in and there was Baylor and TCU, everybody's looking which one of them,
yep.
And neither of them. And then last year, the Pac-12 gets left out. So there's just a lot of things that can happen.
Oklahoma is our champion. Will they be represented in the college football playoff? You'll have to wait a few more weeks to find out. We'll give you that answer here on BunSports.com, or at least what we think on BunSports.com as we announce our playoff predictions. That's the week before the first weekend before college football season, so you don't want to miss that. Next week, the professor and I will preview the ACC and who will come out of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Of course, Clemson last year almost won it all, and we've seen Florida State win the national championship several years ago. So the ACC is coming next week. Hope you have a great week. Thanks for tuning in here at the BunSports.com podcast as we previewed the Big 12. Again, ACC coming next week, followed by the Big 10, SEC, and then our national predictions here at BunSports.com.